be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up to the Lord.
Where the dawn of the east meets the twilight of the west, and the cool of the north touches the calm of the south, and the transcendent power of God touches earth in the humility of love. Here and now at Marsh Chapel, where the head of the Charles reaches out to the heart of the country, we gather for ordered worship on this most blessed, glad-hearted baccalaureate Sunday. We're honored to have in our leadership and in our chancel our president, Dr. Robert A. Brown, our associate provost, Dr. Amy Grills, our chaplains and choir, and we welcome you. Marsh Chapel welcomes you, its Gothic nave meant to lift the spirit, its Indiana limestone meant to last hundreds of years, its stained glass, iconic stained glass windows meant to inspire and remind, and its community embracing especially the graduates and their families of the class of 2022, and most especially about whom more later our honored speaker, Secretary Sutters, whom we are so honored and delighted to have with us. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. As we are able, may we stand in the praise of God.
Amen.
May we pray. Gracious God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this new day, this new season, protect us, we pray, by thy power. Grant that we fall into no sin nor run into any danger, but that all our doing and thinking and speaking might be ordered by thy governance to do that which is acceptable in thy sight. Great art thou, O Lord, and greatly to be praised. Great is thy power, and thy wisdom is infinite. Thee would we praise without ceasing, for our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. Amen. Please be seated.
A lesson from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My life goes on in endless song, above earth's lamentation. I hear the clear, though far-off hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It sounds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? While though the tempest loudly roars, I hear the truth, it liveth. And though the darkness round me close, songs in the night it giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how then can I keep from singing?
Thank you. Please join me in a reading from Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. It is rising from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat.
A lesson from Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 9 through 13. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent of spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. The word of the Lord.
Eternal God, bless all schools, colleges, and universities, especially Boston universities, that they may be lively centers for sound learning, new discovery, and the pursuit of wisdom. and grant that those who teach and those who learn may find you to be the source of all truth. Amen.
With joy, we welcome as our speaker today, Mary Lou Sudders. For Secretary Mary Lou Sudders, CAS 76, SSW 78, a professional path emerged from early personal experience. Raised in a household shaped by mental illness, the future Secretary of Health and Human Services for Massachusetts began pursuing her life's work as soon as she set foot on the campus of Boston University. Here, Secretary Sudders earned a bachelor's degree in psychology, cum laude, and a master's degree in social work. And after graduating, her tireless work on behalf of society's most vulnerable led to a distinguished career, one that included roles as Commissioner of Mental Health for Massachusetts and President and CEO of the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children. A fierce advocate for social justice, Ms. Sudders helped pass key legislative reforms in Massachusetts, particularly relating to mental health, and has earned numerous civic and professional honors, including Social Worker of the Year from the Massachusetts chapter of the National Association of Social Workers. Governor Charlie Baker appointed Secretary Sudders to serve the Massachusetts Executive Office of Health and Human Services starting in 2015. She has since restructured MassHealth, reformed the child welfare system, confronted the opioid epidemic, strengthened community-based services, all while overseeing 12 agencies with a combined budget of $26 billion and 22,000 employees, deliver essential services to one in three residents. An exceptionally tall order, and then COVID-19 struck. Secretary Sudders' leadership during the ordeal of the pandemic, including smoothing the vaccine rollout, has been essential to the success of our Commonwealth and Boston University in combating the disease and ensuring fewer deaths and less suffering. To quote Governor Baker, "Mary Lou is the one you want in the foxhole with you when you're in a situation like this, because she will never, ever quit." Friends, let us give a warm Marsh Chapel and Boston University welcome to our honored speaker this day.
President Brown, trustees and faculty, distinguished guests, and especially the members of this great and resilient class of 2022. It is a true privilege to be with you in person, not zoomed in, at my and now your alma mater. A joy to share in celebrating you and your accomplishments today. No doubt a huge sigh of relief. It's important to take a moment to pause, breathe in the significance of your achievements. Your effort, your persistence, your perseverance, and your scholarship, particularly the challenge that COVID has presented and you have surmounted. And to the graduates who are out there, it is time to acknowledge your support team, those who've helped you along this academic journey, loved ones, family and friends, professors and colleagues, who also deserve our collective gratitude. As of course this academic chapter ends, a new one unfolds, a life of purpose, however you may define it. Some graduates may be certain about their next chapter, and others are still exploring. I encourage all of you to be open to the possibilities, those sometimes serendipitous encounters that may open a door not previously contemplated, for life is not linear. 50 years ago this August, a skinny young woman from upstate New York entered Boston University, found her scholastic footing, and eventually flourished, pursuing, as you've heard, a degree in psychology and then immediately a master's in social work under the extraordinary dean, Hubie Jones. During those 6 years, lifelong friendships and professional connections were formed, and a career of social justice and public service cemented. While I didn't realize it at the time, my personal and professional safety net was being stitched together, not ashamed to seek out assistance. Later, when I had the opportunity to give back to the social work community as a teacher, as a professor, I reminded my students, as I remind all of you this morning, that seeking help is a sign of strength and not weakness. A reckoning that no one can forge their path successfully alone. As odd as it may sound to you, 50 years later, Boston University is still part of my safety net, particularly the social work school that embraced an alumna who became the first social worker to serve as Massachusetts Commissioner of Mental Health and now as its Secretary of Health and Human Services. I want to assure all of you, behind all of those numbers of $26 billion, 22,000 public servants, 12 agencies, I never forget that there are lives and hopes and dreams of individuals, families, and communities. During the past 2 years, the School of Social Work reached out routinely with me to offer support after vitriolic verbal attacks and negative public comments were lobbed in reaction to decisions I made throughout the pandemic. Who knew that mask would become such a four-letter word, if you know what I mean? In March 2020, our collective and individual lives ground to a halt. No person unscathed, many devastated by the loss of loved ones or economic insecurity. All of us untethered by the disruption to our daily lives and rhythms, the isolation of a prolonged pandemic, the uncertainty of when this would ever end. As the person at the epicenter of this state's pandemic response, I am grateful to Boston University and President Brown for leadership and commitment to the health and safety not only of the university's community, but to the entire state. Very early on, in the earliest days, a small group of Massachusetts college and university presidents, including President Brown, gathered virtually to piece together the facts for one another in an ever-evolving global crisis and to join with the state to rapidly develop testing capacity and protocols, collaborate to ensure that our healthcare system stayed strong, and to engage in cohesive and coherent communication strategies. There are many lessons to be learned from what we have endured these past few years, and some yet to be discerned. There are four that are very present for me to share with you this morning. Not to worry, this is not my dissertation defense. If we understood that the world had become smaller due to international trade, tourism, immigration, this pandemic has made it viscerally clear that our globe is a very small place and that we collectively have a local and global responsibility for one another. If we understood that there are vast disparities and inequities in the world, the pandemic and murder of George Floyd and others laid bare the systemic effects of racism that permeate our own country and our nation's institutions. COVID has had a significant and profoundly disproportionate impact on our neighbors who are brown and black. If we understood that behavioral health has been the segregated and under-resourced segment of our U.S. healthcare system, this pandemic underscored that reality and the need for true parity of physical and behavioral health. We must lean in with individuals and families who are struggling with mental illness and addictions and not stand back. And if we acknowledge that competition fuels innovation and new technology, this pandemic fostered an uber collaboration across many fields that are generally competitors: biotech, life sciences, healthcare, academia. Two shining examples stand out. Effective and safe vaccines were developed in record time, and more locally, in a state where healthcare is a dominant and competitive industry, our hospitals rallied and for 2+ years acted as one system. As a result, unlike other parts of the United States, our healthcare system was sorely stretched but never overrun. If there is a silver lining to this pandemic, perhaps it serves as an inflection point that some of these lessons, ephemeral in the past, are galvanized into sustainable progress and lasting change. No doubt, the question on everyone's mind is, when does this end? It turns out defining the beginning of a pandemic is simpler than defining its end. We will not end COVID-19. It is a highly transmissible respiratory virus with very annoying mutants. It will continue to be present. We are all weary and over it, but COVID zero is not possible. We're transitioning to an endemic. With much more knowledge of the coronavirus now, and with the tools to manage COVID rather than COVID managing us. The science continues to evolve, our vaccine and therapeutics improving, and our testing and mitigation strategies have advanced light years since March of 2020. Of course, there's much work ahead, but there is hope. And the reality is that our lives are adjusting to this new normal. Look around. We are here together. And what you've been through the past 2+ years, certainly not the academic experience you envisioned, but clearly a formative one, to be here today proves our collective strength, grit, and resilience. Of course, graduates leave with a strong educational foundation on which to build their next chapter. But life is more than our degrees or our professional identity. It is a tapestry woven by human connection, friendship, community, family, and love. As the writer Anna Quinlan remarked, love is not leisure, it is work. So until we take our last breaths, we will always be imperfect works in progress, both personally and professionally. And finally, a word of advice. Today's technology and gadgets have transformed our seemingly insatiable quest for information on a 24/7 basis. You can Google almost anything, from an answer to a date, but you can't Google your values. That comes from the heart. So on occasion, unplug from the gadgets, make eye contact, have a conversation instead of a text, or just take a moment to pause. Congratulations, good luck, and take good care. It's a tremendous honor to be with you this morning.
Please be seated. We now come to the time in our service when we turn our hearts and minds to prayer. Let us pray. Holy One, we offer thanks and praise on this day of graduation for our graduates, their families and friends, this university and its faculty and staff, and the world. Creator of all, we ask that you help us to see and understand the ways in which we are deeply interconnected with the world around us, recognizing the ways in which our actions not only affect our human neighbors, but the intricate web of life. God of learning, we ask you to bless the community of Boston University, including the students, faculty, staff, and administration who have guided, encouraged, and mentored our graduates throughout their years at this institution. Enable them to provide inspiration, scholarship, leadership, and vision that empowers our graduates beyond the boundaries of this campus and into the world. God, who is love, we are thankful for accompaniment, care, and steadfastness of parents, family, and friends of our graduates along their educational journeys. Strengthen them to continue their support of our graduates, serving as a reminder of their roots and traditions, while encouraging growth through new opportunities and challenges. God, who is wisdom, we rejoice in the scholastic achievements and personal growth demonstrated by the graduates of Boston University who we recognize today. Continue to guide them as they enter into the world to lead, to learn, and to show your love in their vocations and relationships with others. Help them through the challenges they may face ahead to apply the knowledge and skills they have gained at this institution to provide leadership, seek justice, and improve our world. God of grace, amidst our celebrations, we also remember those who struggle, suffer, or mourn. We lament systemic injustices that separate us from one another and the individual anxieties and trials that may feel too hard to bear. Grant that we may extend your love to all those who are in need of it, that they may find comfort in your presence, especially those we name silently before you now. Receive these prayers, O God, and transform us through them, that we may have eyes to see and hearts to understand not only what you do on our behalf, but what you call us to do. Amen.
Oh,
The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. May the sun shine warm and bright on you. Your darkest night, a star shine through. Your dullest morn, a radiance brew. And when dusk comes, God's hand to you. Amen.